I'm Stuart McIntosh with the BBC News. Hello. US officials say that President Biden has authorised Ukraine to use American long-range missiles to strike targets deep inside Russia. The decision marks a significant reversal in US policy, although there's been no formal announcement by Mr. Biden, who will hand over to Donald Trump in January. Our correspondent in Ukraine, Paul Adams, explains what could be behind the decision.
It is largely because of the situation in Kursk that the decision to send the troops from North Korea there has been instrumental in changing Washington's opinion. I think in some ways this may turn out to be Joe Biden's parting gift to Ukraine, an effort to shore up Ukrainian defences, to give Ukraine a bit of an advantage ahead of what many here and across the world see as the likely advent of some kind of negotiations sometime next year.
Hezbollah officials say the Lebanese militant group's media chief has been killed by an Israeli airstrike in central Beirut. Mohammed Afif was one of the group's few remaining public faces. Israel's latest airstrike hit the headquarters of a pro-Syrian party in the city's Ras al Naba area. The BBC's Nafisa Konavard went to the site.
We could hear a big missile flying over central Beirut and coming and landing here, which is very close to a very Christian area. It is not Hezbollah stronghold or anywhere that Hezbollah people normally are there. And the attack created a lot of fear. This is another sign that nowhere in Beirut can be safe, because this attack happened without any warning, because it was a target assassination.
Demonstrators in Georgia have blocked a key junction in the capital, Tbilisi, in protest against last month's parliamentary election results. The opposition says the vote was rigged. It was won by the governing Georgian Dream Party, which critics accused of being pro-Russian and increasingly authoritarian. Around 1,500 opponents of the Russian government have marched through central Berlin in a demonstration against Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. The march was led by Yulia Navalny, the widow of the Russian dissident Alexei Navalny, who died in a Russian prison in February. Sarah Rainsford reports.
This was the first protest that's been led by Yulia Navalny as she tries to bring together Russians who oppose Vladimir Putin and are now forced to live in exile. They ended outside the Russian embassy, where Yulia Navalnaya urged the crowd to keep coming out in protest in order to give voice to those still inside Russia who would be arrested for speaking out, and all those already in prison or killed for their politics. Many protesters called for more missiles and support for Ukraine so it can defend itself.
This is the BBC News. President Biden has promised more funding to fight climate change during the first visit by a sitting US president to the Amazon rainforest. Speaking in the Brazilian city of Manaus, Mr. Biden pledged to bring the US commitment to the Amazon Conservation Fund to $100 million.
The United States Development Finance Corporation will mobilize hundreds of millions of dollars in partnership with a Brazilian company to reforest the Amazon. Second, we're launching a Brazil Restoration and Bioeconomy Finance Coalition to mobilize at least $10 billion by 2030 to restore and protect 20,000 square miles of land.
Reports from Senegal say that with most votes now counted in Sunday's general election, the governing party has secured an unassailable lead. A spokesman for PASTEF, the party of President Bassirou Diomaye, appeared on television to claim victory and thank the Senegalese people. The leader of the main opposition coalition is reported to have congratulated the winners. Prosecutors in Venezuela say 225 prisoners have been released after they were detained during anti-government protests after July's disputed presidential election. The Venezuelan Attorney General Tarek Saab said the prisoners were freed after a review of cases of alleged wrongful detention. The Canadian government is to offer financial compensation to the indigenous Inuit community for the mass slaughter of their sled dogs by the authorities in the 1950s and 60s. More than 1,000 of the husky-type creatures were shot by police, officials and business owners in Nunavik in northern Quebec. The Crown Indigenous Relations Minister said it had destroyed the Inuit way of life. It comes after a decades-long campaign by the people to get the state to accept responsibility. BBC News.